The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Say the Gospel of John. Amen. John wrote Revelations, John 1, 2, 3, and 4, and this book right here. Amen. Sometimes we don't like to give credit to the man that God used, but God chose them to write under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All right, am I correct in saying that? Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, John 6:1. I'm going to go from verse 1 through 12, and it reads as thus. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. That's going to be important later on. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them, that they were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with the disciples. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for sitting with me. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. You know, the Passover, they had unleavened bread, flat bread. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude or great company come unto him, he said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew he would what he would do. Amen. God knows what he's going to do. And he does is expedient and excellent. He's always right on time. Amen. Amen. And Philip answered him. He said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. What is man to say? What is sufficient when God is there? That every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. Somebody say a little boy is here. Which have five barley loaves, five little biscuits, somebody said, and two sardines, and two small fish. Amen. But what are we? But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was a much grass in the place. So when the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves. Somebody say, Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, most importantly, watch the text. He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. And when they were filled, somebody say filled. You know you got to be filled, amen. I got to be filled to preach here today. Somebody say, I'm filled. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Please be seated in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't God good? Somebody said he is that way. He is in that position of goodness all the time. Not just on Sunday, not just on Monday, but all the time, all the time. Those are the days of the week that we count, but there's a time immemorial that existed before even the days were called out by God. Amen. I'm here to preach to somebody today. Amen. I wish I had some help. I wish I had a few amens today. Amen. Why y'all sitting so quietly? Amen. I won't be long. I promise I won't be long. Amen. 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 I want to use for a thought today. No money, no man. No money, no man. I'm talking to somebody today. You can look at that. You can read that. You can go to it any kind of way that you want to. But at the end of the day, no money, no man. You can divide it up. You can divide that statement up and just say no money. There's no money present. And you can say no man. It can mean that it wasn't a man. It might have been a lad, amen, a little boy that brought it. But we know that if I can be transparent today, and I know how y'all really roll around, how y'all get down, but I know a lot of the women around here, and I know that they ain't messing around with nobody that ain't got no money. So I don't know who's here today thinking you got your eyeball on somebody, but no money, no man. I was just playing. Amen. God. He's good. He's excellent in all his ways. He's present even here now, and he's teaching us in the scripture who he is and who we are not. Amen. So if you don't know what lane you must be in today, we're going to talk about that. The first point that I will be making is the powerful God, the powerful God. The second point that I will be making this morning is the powerless man, the powerless man. And the third point will be the perfect sacrifice. All right, to be with me, y'all got to watch the text. I'm sure this is a very, very familiar text. It appears in all four Gospels, even though John the Revelator, John of Patmos, was not a synoptic writer, as they say in theology. Synoptics mean you're seeing the same thing as you watch. They wrote the same thing, or they seen the same thing. John, because he believed that Jesus was the Son of God from the beginning, amen, he's seen things a little bit differently. He was a symbolic writer. He used allegories and phrases and substitutes for things, because in that day, if you really study the text, you'll figure out that the Roman government wasn't playing. They was hurting people. They was hurting people for delivering the gospel or to lifting up anybody other than who the emperor was. And so John, through the Holy Spirit, used symbolism a lot. And what I like about the symbolism is it's timeless, Angelo. It's timeless, so that whatever that was symbolizing in that day, what it meant, it also can mean the same thing today in this same culture. I want to talk a little about cultural relativism. And I don't know if we were able to get on the screen the definition, but at some point we'll put it up there. But under cultural relativism, we battle with what is called the truth. And they say that we have a tendency to call what is truth based on what we see. And the Bible teaches that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So under the rule of cultural relativism, we think whatever scientists say, amen, I know this is not true because I have to work outside most of the time during the day. And the scientists get on, the meteorologists who are very bright or whatever, and they say that it's going to rain. They done this earlier this week, and it did not rain. So we have a tendency to borrow from them and to think that whatever is true must come from a scientist. But they are limited. And that's where the powerless man comes in too. Scientists are limited. What they're telling you is limited. Amen? So let me talk about the universality of bread, because bread is all in the scripture. Amen? The universality of bread says to us that in every culture, in every climate, I just mentioned the culture and the climate of various places, but the most important thing is the culture and the climate that is in our mind. What have been planted? The culture. Culture is relative to cultivating, and cultivating is relative to the ground. What seed, amen, well, I wish somebody say amen today. What seed have we planted in the ground? Do you have a seed of faith in the ground to believe that the things that God said are going to come to pass? Even when we're sick, I know I've been to the scientists, I've been to the doctors, I have some good doctors, but I don't believe everything they say. I couldn't. Because one little word that comes out of their mouth, Angela, if it's not favorable for me, it could change my whole attitude, change my day. And also, ultimately, they said that's under the rule of psychosomatic, you will start to believe what people are saying about you. That's why the word of God says, watch this, speak life into people. Speak life, amen? Speak life. Even though something may not be, or someone may not be treating you the way that you want to be treated, speak life. Pray for your brothers and sisters. We need to pray for each other in this church today. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about praying for one another. Amen? Amen. Remembering each other in prayer and one another in prayer. Those are the rules, the first rules of discipleship is that we help each other. Amen. Help your neighbor. Amen. 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 I just traveled off just a little while, but let me talk about the universality of bread. Bread is baked and used in every culture, every nation, every tongue. Wherever you may go, you're going to find bread. So in the scripture, John uses the symbolism of bread to represent the universality of the word of God, and that it will be carried throughout all languages. Are y'all with me today? The next system I want to talk about is a money system, the system of value, what we place on things. In our culture, we have a tendency to use money. That's why I put in there no money, no man. We use money as the number one value system. Now, I have in my hand, I borrowed a penny from my brother back there, Brother Prince. I was glad somebody had some loose change. I got a penny. I think, is it Abraham Lincoln is on there? So I grabbed this penny to remind me of my state, my penniless state, that I am nobody with God. Amen. I am nobody. I am the personality of me. My ego is nothing. Amen. No matter what I have achieved in this world, whatever I might have acquired is nothing with God. It's penniless. It's hopeless. You'll see it in the text. Penniless, not enough. As Reverend Rose always said, we're bankrupt with God. We're bankrupt. We don't have anything. I don't care what you think you have today, but you don't have nothing if you ain't doing the will of God. Amen. You're broke and you're penniless. So what happens is this is a coin that someone's image have been pressed on to recognize that this is a penny used in the United States. It's a United States currency. It ain't worth a dime. Well, yes, it is, because it has some copper in it. They used to be all copper, Deacon. They changed and put a little bit of copper in there. But it's not worth its weight in gold. Penny worth. Not worth its weight in gold. The next coin that I have is a quarter that I borrowed. I'll give it back to you, bro. 25 cents. That's what a penny candy probably costs today. What used to be, you can get two bubble guns for a penny. Angela, you wouldn't know about this. But now it's going to be 25 cents, minimally. but it has on the back of it an eagle, which we borrowed from the Roman Empire. So it has an eagle on the back of a 25-cent head, and it has George Washington pressed in the front. Do y'all remember when, I think in Mark 12, the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, and they asked him, if you're going to pay your taxes? And he said, any of y'all have a coin on you? He said, yeah. So what's on that coin? They said, it's an image of Caesar. He said, okay then. Written unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto me what's mine. Amen. Because that coin ain't worth a dime, but I'm going to show you in the text, if I might pause for a minute. It said, and when I was reading in my King James Version, it says, Jesus feeds more than 5,000 people. And I included us in there. How many is in here today? About 70, 80. So it was at least 5,070 people. Because I'm putting us in there too. He feeds us too. And the miracles that they saw, it's one thing to see a miracle. They seen the disease and him cure. I think just before, and our Reverend Lucky had mentioned it last week, about the man who was sick, a paraplegic who was sick for 38 years. And just before this text, if you read, if you studied it, that's where they were. They were in what a place called Bethesda, the place of five pools. And we know we have a Bethesda hospital. But that man was sick for 38 years, and they seen him work that miracle. Ha. See, scientists, they can't do it. I'm telling you, they can't do it. As a matter of fact, under the rule of the disciples, nobody even carried him to the pool. He said, I can't get no help. And that's our issue today. We say, we can't get no help. Amen. But I'm telling you to depend on God. God is our help. Because you can't, the powerless man can't do nothing for you. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Y'all quiet today. I hope I'm not stepping on no toes, but I'm just wanting to try to tell you like it T.I.E. is. The powerless man can't do nothing for you. And I'm not speaking allegorically. I'm speaking the truth. I'm speaking straight up. He can't do nothing for you. But God, depend on him. It's all in the gospel today. As I whispered over to Reverend this morning, he mentioned about the prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. It was right there in the Bible today. And in that it says, give us our daily bread. Amen. Give us our daily bread. Give us our substance. And so under money value system, that's what we feel like. If we don't have no money, we can't do nothing. And that's not true, because I'm telling you, a lot of times I done rode without money. I could tell you a whole bunch of things that happened to me when I didn't have no money. Amen. First thing that happened was God showed me my beautiful wife, who she always kid. She would kid me a lot. She said, "Yeah, you had a little money, but I always had to put something with it." But thank you for seeing something in me that later on I'll be able to help her out. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Y'all too tight up in here today. I told you I won't be long. So verse 1 says that they went over to the other side. And, a few months ago, Pastor was preaching. He paused in the word, and he said, and he looked over at me, he said, as a matter of fact, he said, there are many crosses before the cross. Did y'all hear him say that? And he said, that'll preach, that'll preach. He said, there are many crosses before the cross. And in this verse, in this text, it says that they crossed over, or they went over to the other side. What was the other side? They went over the Sea of Galilee, Bethesda. They were in Bethesda, and they crossed over to Bethsaida. And I tell you, man, the word is just, it is just so complete. It is, I always say it's a great read, because it means fish, city of fish, Bethesda. Bethsaida. It means a place of fish. And so we have bread and we have fish in the text. Amen. Y'all still with me? And so it says in verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over. Another thing that happened was they had just beheaded John the Baptist. Amen. And that was Jesus' cousin that we know. And so they were, he was touched by that. They were impacted by that. And they said that the crowd also knew. And so that was one of the reasons why they followed him in verse 2. I'm in verse 2 now. The great multitude followed. It says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw, they seen it with their eyes, his miracles. They were seeing a miracle, but later on they was getting ready to eat a miracle. They was going to partake a miracle. They seen one on the outside, but they're going to internalize. You got to watch the text. And how it speaks to them. Now they're going to internalize God's wonder, his miracle, his power. They're going to be able to see it, feel it, and take it in. Amen. Are y'all with me today? I want you to be able to see it, feel it, and take it in. How many of you have seen a miracle? You don't have to raise your hand. Just say amen or whatever. How many of you have seen a miracle? And some of you have birthed beautiful children into the world. You've birthed into the world miracles. The very fact of how a baby even has kept alive, the scientific part of that, is amazing to me. To be kept in darkness and seem like, you know, how could he breathe? How could they form? How does it happen? How does all this stuff happen? Well, God spoke it in the beginning. He said it. He said that it would be so. God said that it would be so. And remember when Adam fell, the first time we even seen bread was in the book of Genesis. Are y'all studying with me? He said, you know what? He said, now, Adam, since you have done this, you're going to have to work on the sweat of your brow. Amen. Get a man that's working. Get a man that's working, ladies. Get a women. Get a man that's working about it. You're going to have to work. God said, you're going to have to decide you're going to have to do this. You know what I'm saying? Because every now and then, what we have to do, Deke, is that during our course of the day, and while we're trying to get the money or whatever it is, the substance to take care of the house, every now and then, we got to look up to God and say, Lord, I need some help. Yeah, yeah. It teaches us to depend on him, because what'll happen is, without God, see, we start getting these crazy thoughts and say we can do it on our own. You know what I'm saying? On our own fruition, we'll go out and do things, and we won't even ask God. I wish somebody would be open with me and transparent with me this morning. Sometimes we go and do things, and we don't even ask God, hey, is it okay? Lord, would you be with me? I know. You say, I'm going to do this because I know how to do it. I can handle this. I have experience on doing this, Lord, and I'll go do it on my own. And that got men in trouble because they said that they were giving and taking in marriage and they didn't even ask God. And God said, for this, I'm getting ready to flood the earth. We got any Bible readers up in here today? Amen. That was just for extra. That's for extra. Back to the text. So we looked at verse 2 and we talked about what they seen, why they followed him. But then we get down to verse 5. Verse 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude, a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Again, puzzling to me. And I asked myself, So I went back and read. I was thumbing through the Bible. I said, let me make sure that when he chose the disciples, that Judas was there too. And I said, why are you asking Judas about the money? It wasn't, Philip, wasn't Judas the treasurer? You know what I'm saying? You know, just a little side thought. You know how I am. You know, I'm going to analyze everything and stuff. I'm like, you know, what was Judas? So he's probably out somewhere trying to make a side deal while it was all going on. As a matter of fact, he was probably going through the 5,000 asking them for money. You know what I'm saying? We need to lift the offering here today. You know? But Jesus said, he already knew what he was going to do. But I was just surprised that Judas wasn't there. That's all. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right. Amen. And so the text reads that he went to Philip. I wrote down he went over to check him out. Turned to Philip just to check him out to see where he was with the money. Now, Philip was the only Greek among them. What's happening with the money? And the answer that Philip gave him was weak and powerless. He said that, in verse 6, it said Jesus only asked him that just to see where he was, to check him out. You know, every now and then God asks us a question to see, where are you, man? I guess I'm picking on the men this morning. He said, where are you? What's your state? What's your state of mind? Where are you in worship? Where are you in ministry? Where are you in taking care of the house or the home activities? Where are you? Where are you in parenting? Are you still raising your kids? I know they're grown, but are you still parenting them through life? Are you still pressuring them to honor God and to keep God first in your life? Are you telling them, amen, I can't get no help in here today. Are you still telling your children that in everything you do, you first look for God? Amen, amen, amen. Are you reminding them on a daily basis that he is the all-powerful God? I stand here and tell you that God is almighty and he is powerful and he is the only one. They said God is one. He is the only one. He is the only one that can do exactly what he says. And I'm right back to the word. I'm right back to the song again that he's the only one. Hallelujah, glory. And here today that I know that I can go to and say, Lord, I need you for this and I needed you for that. He's the only one I know, that can deliver on time. They said he may not be there when you need him, but he's always, amen. Can I get amen right on time? Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. He's always right there on time. I say, thank you, Lord, because you've been so good. But here in the text, back to the text, Philip's answer to him in verse 7, it says 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. So I guess the answer was all we got is 200 penny worth. And so all he was planning on doing, all Philip was planning on doing, because you know Greeks are mathematicians and stuff, they said we're going to feed just what we got money for, 200 penny worth on the scale. You know, they put everything on the scale. You know, that's where it started. It was this, a penny was the first measurement of the scale, the first, substantial thing, a grain of salt or whatever they based it on. And Revelation said that the price is going to go up. It said when the millennium is hit in, the price of everything going to go up and Satan is going to unbalance the scale and we won't be able to buy nothing. Ain't nobody talking to me today. I know I'm right because I read the word of God and I know that it is true. But one day, see now what was 1 cent, what we could buy for 1 cent is now 25 cents. Amen. Anybody saying nothing? But Lord kept on increasing. Every now and then, you got to give God a raise. I said to myself, I'm being funny, but it was really real. I said, you know what? The Lord deserves a raise. So I started, giving a little bit more. You know, one time in one of the business meetings, I only attend a few of them, so I'm just going to be real up here. But Sister Mary Ann, the trustee, said, if y'all would just give $5 more, we can take care of a lot of this stuff. I said, okay. So then I gave the Lord a raise. I'm like, Lord, here's a raise. You know, just talking to him because we're friends, you know. Gave him a $5 raise. He said, okay, thank you, Keeley. I'm going to bring you up too. And you know what? You know what he'll do? The overflow will be so much. Oh, good God Almighty. I'm trying to help somebody today. The overflow will be so much that you don't have room for it. Remember when they were on the sea, they were fishing on the sea? And then when I told them, they cast it in that on one side. He said, go over and cast it on the other side. When they cast what the Lord said, see, Peter was a fisherman. He was a scientific fisherman. He was a great fisherman. He was a wealthy fisherman. He knew how to fish. Amen. Anybody know how to fish today? Huh? Do you go fishing in your ministry? Huh? Huh? Who do you talk to about God? I'm wondering why are our pews becoming so empty? Amen. Are we talking to people about the ministry? Look, the 5,000 didn't just get there all on their own. All of them didn't see the miracle, I'm sure. But you know what started happening? They started telling them. So, oh, Jesus in town, man. And he's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's giving sight to the blind. Come see him. Come see him. They followed him. More than 5,000. Can you think about that in your mind? That's a lot of folks. Every now and then I go down to the Bengals game. I'm going to let y'all go, too, so y'all can get down there and y'all can see the game. But it's a bunch of people just coming, just coming, just coming. Amen. And it's just amazing to me. It's like, you know, what did they come to see? Just for a moment, just for a fleeting moment. And they tax you for everything down there. They tax you heavily. But we'll go and dump our money into that system and jump in there. But we won't come and praise God who makes it all possible. Amen. He made the paper that the dollars are printed on. He made the ink. Amen. He made all of it. All of it belongs to God. The concrete that holds the structure together, God made it. Hallelujah. Glory. But no, we won't give him the honor. We won't give him the praise this morning. I'm with you. I'm with you this morning. I feel like a praise this morning. I got a shout in me this morning because I know the Lord is good and he has provided. And you know what? I'm trying to help somebody this morning. I'm trying to help you. You said every now and then you got to get up. Get up and give God some praise. Intentional praise. I don't care who's next to me or whatever's going on, but every now and then I'm going to get up and shout and say, amen, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. He's waiting for your praise. The Bible teaches us that our praises are what goes up. The instance of our praise is what good God to move. And you know what he does? He reacts. He said, okay, I see it. I see the vow coming up. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dump out my glory upon the earth. And you know what? Every now and then we got to get a praise up. We got to get a praise in because we're serving a powerful, all-powerful God. Do you know what that means? That God is all-powerful. That Jesus didn't have to go necessarily to the cross to have some power. He already had power and authority. They kept asking about what authority. Do you do these things? How could you do it? They kept on telling, I have a father. Do you have a father this morning? I have a father. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord Jesus. I have a father who helps me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me, hallelujah, that you are my own. The writer said it. I go to the garden alone while the dew. You got to get up sometime early. You got to give Lord early praise. He said, I go to the garden while the dew is still fresh on the roses. And he said that the sound that I hear that falls on my ear, it comes from God alone. Did he talk to you? Will he walk with you? He walked across the water. I mentioned to you earlier about the Sea of Tiberias. This was fascinating to me. That they would even take a time out to name the sea after an emperor. They said that Emperor Tiberius was brutal. That he was especially brutal to little children. They said he'd done strange things to children. He molested them. He'd done all things. And I said, and here it is. God is using a lad in the text to feed 5,000. Right there in his providence, and Tiberius' providence, he got the nerve to name a sea after himself. And the word of God teaches us that Jesus took Tiberius' sea and he walked across it. He walked across the sea that Tiberius had called his own. The powerless God put the powerful God put the powerless man in place. He thought he was an emperor. He thought he owned something. But Jesus showed him that I own the sea. He strutted across the sea that they called the Sea of Tiberius. Ain't the Lord all right? Can he do it? Is he able? Somebody stand on their feet. If you know God is able, if he's been your God, if he's been your Jesus, if you called on him and he answered your cry, you ought to stand on your feet this morning. You ought to give him some praise. Because God, I said, my God, he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Glory be to the God who is unending. Glory be to the God, the good God Almighty, who has no ending and he has no beginning. But he speaks to us from eternity. He said, I'll walk with you and I'll talk with you and I'll call you my own. We thank God this morning that he's able to do exceedingly, I heard you this morning, and abundantly, and above all, that I could ask, that we could ask together as a congregation. God could take us above that. He can take us over that. What do you need? What do you need? I know it's no money, no man, but God, I said God, has it all. You give me some praise this morning. Ain't God all right? Hey, the doors of the church are open. Is there anybody here? I said, is there anybody here who want to give God your life this morning? Hey, is there anybody here?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.